Well, every year as a pastor, near the 1st of January, I like to give a New Year message. It's something to help us kickstart the new year, you might say. And as you read the book of Joshua, we find that the word success is mentioned, and that's mentioned in Joshua 1 verse 8. And I think it would be good of us to look forward to the fact that you and I can have a successful year despite perhaps the storm clouds that are looming over our nation. If you study the Bible, the King James version of the Bible, you'll find that the word success is only mentioned once in the entire Bible, and that's in Joshua 1 verse 8. Let me read to you what the Bible says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The people of God, their success for their new challenge, which was a new land that they were going to go into, their success was directly related to the Word of God, to how they heard the Word of God and to how they obeyed the Word of God. And as we go into 2021, our success will again, as it related to them, will relate to the Word of God, how we hear the Word of God and how we obey the Word of God. You know, none of us know what 2021 will bring. I was looking yesterday, preparing for this message, and looking at what 2020 brought us. Let me remind you of just some of the things that happened in 2020. In January, all of us were aware of the crippling drought across our nation. In late January, we became aware of the crippling fires that were around the nation. Towards the end of January, we heard that the coronavirus had come to Australia. On the 11th of March 2020, the coronavirus was declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization. Who knows what's going to happen in 2021? But I know who knows. I know who knows what's going to happen in 2021, and it's the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Whether this year coming, 2021, is a year of trials or triumph for you, God has given us principles of success in the book of Joshua. And I want to speak about a couple of those principles this morning. If you come to the book of Joshua, you understand that the Israelites, in their disobedience, had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were wilderness wanderers, but God wanted them to be Canaan conquerors. And the time comes when we come to the book of Joshua that they are on the very edge of entering the promised land. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The adult generation had died out. Moses had died as well. And God still had a plan. And God raised up a leader. His name was Joshua. And Joshua was going to take them over the river Jordan, into the land of Canaan. But it was a bit of a shaky start in going into the promised land. As I mentioned, their leader Moses was dead. So in this new start that they were going to have, they had a new leader. And even though the people whinged against Moses and complained against him, when Moses was alive, he was a respected leader. In actual fact, when you read about the death of Moses, the Israelites mourned for Moses for 30 days. Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, "Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigour diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Their great leader had gone. They have a new leader. Not only do they have a new leader, they have a new land that they are to conquer. They have new enemies that have a fearsome reputation. Canaan was a land of walled cities, a land where their enemies had advanced weapons. You read in the Bible that they had iron chariots. And they would be, God's people would be entering the land of Canaan, the land of giants who possessed superior weapons. A new leader, a new start, a new land, new opportunities, but also new difficulties for the people. Not only did they have a new leader, they had a new form of supply of their food. If you remember in the book of Exodus that the people travelled in the wilderness and they got home delivery by God himself. Exodus 16 verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." New land, new leader, new opportunities, new enemies, and a new food supply. Home delivery was now gone, and they actually had to get their supplies from the land of the enemies. Joshua 5 verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. So they had to eat from the land and the crops of the enemy. And I don't think that the Canaanites would have been particularly happy about that. One more thing in their new start is that they had to cross the Jordan River. And God chose a time which to man's mind would not be a particularly good time to cross the Jordan River. If you go to the Jordan River, where they were going to cross, normally, when it wasn't spring, it would be about 100 feet wide. I've been to the Jordan River and I've had the privilege of baptising people there, and where I was, you could have easily swum across the river. But it's springtime when they're about to enter the land of Canaan. And a river that's 100 feet wide, what happens is the Mount Hermon, the snows melt in the spring on Mount Hermon, and it flows down to the headwaters of the Jordan River, and the Jordan River floods its banks, and so instead of being 100 feet wide, it is now a mile wide. A new start for these people. It seemed to be a difficult start in the land of opportunity. A new leader, a new source of food, and now this mighty river, a river of difficulty that they've got to cross before they can get into the land of opportunity. Joshua 3 verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Fearful days, a fearful start for these people, but God gave them the formula of success, and it was in the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever tried to cross a raging river. Before I was married, Judy and I decided that we would go up to the Namboida River, Namboida, which is up near Grafton. And we chose the wrong tour company. We chose a tour company called Adrenaline Tours. And they were going to take us white water rafting down the Namboida River. I should have gone for Swan Lake Tours rather than the Adrenaline Tours. And they lived up to their name, these guys, and they were cowboys, you might say, of their Nambodia in those days, I think the 80s. OH&S didn't even know about it. Certainly these guys didn't know about it. And I remember them sending me and our raft over a waterfall as a bit of a joke. And I got trapped in a whirlpool that was gradually drawing me into the waterfall, and fortunately someone helped me and I was able to get out. But crossing a flooded river is a fearful thing. I've been there. And imagine trying to think about getting a whole nation of people across a river of difficulty that was in the, you might say, the worst time for mankind to cross it, springtime when the snows were melting and it was a mile wide. Well, what did they do? In this new time of opportunity for them, with the river of difficulty before them, they had to trust God. And as we think about 2021, it might be a year of difficulty for us. To me, the storm clouds are increasing. The floodwaters, you might say, a threat to overflow our nation and nations around the world. There is a river of difficulty before us in 2021, but we must never forget that in Jesus, there's a land of opportunity. There's a land of blessing. And if we want success, we need to do what Joshua did in Joshua 1 verse 8. We need to stick to the word of God. We need to believe the word of God, and we need to obey the word of God. I need to say that once they crossed the river, and they got across there because of the Lord's doing, once they entered the promised land, there were battles to fight. And if you read the book of Joshua, you can read about their battles. Let me just mention some of them. In Joshua chapter 6, they came to that huge walled city, the city of Jericho, and they had to fight the battle God's way. Joshua 6, the city of Jericho. Joshua 7, there was the battle of Ai, and we know that about the disappointments there. God's people had to battle against the Amorites in Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 11, there was the northern conquest. And in Joshua chapter 12, you get a list of the conquests that Joshua and his people had to fight. And I haven't got time to go through all the conquests, but let me read you about some of the battles that they fought. And it's in Joshua 12 verse 8. The battles that they fought were in the mountain country, in the lowlands, in the Jordan Plain, in the slopes, in the wilderness, and in the south, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They were just some of the battles that, or the people that they had to fight, that's mentioned in Joshua chapter 12. Well, they had to trust the Lord in those conflicts. And this year there may be several conflicts that God's people have to go through as we enter 2021. Joshua 1 verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Joshua and God's people had to believe God's promises, but Joshua and God's people also had to trust God's presence. Joshua 1 verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. We as the people of God entering 2021 must trust the promises of God, but we also must trust the presence of God. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for all your sins, that he's redeemed you, he's paid the redemption price with his own blood, he rose again on the third day, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you can be absolutely assured that you have God's presence with you. Hebrews 13 verse 5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. Believe God's promises and trust God's presence. He's with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So we have God's promises, we have God's presence, but thirdly, we have God's purpose for our lives. Joshua 1 verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Here we find that God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. His strength was to be in God. And God had promised that they would have a land of plenty, that they would have an inheritance in the land of Canaan. Now, when you think about that, they had an earthly inheritance. You and I have a spiritual inheritance. They had to battle for their earthly inheritance. And I believe that there's a spiritual battle going on as you and I battle for our spiritual inheritance. You and I are not to go, we're not out here to go and conquer Australia with weapons, but we have the weapon of the gospel, and we are encouraged as believers to go out with a conquering message of the good news of the gospel. Every Christian has a job. Just as they had to take their inheritance, you and I have a spiritual inheritance that we must take. And we take that inheritance as we go forward, trusting the promises of God, trusting the presence of God, and going forth with His purpose, and that is to bring the good news of the gospel. You and I are to be both salt and light in this world of darkness. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus said in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, that his followers were to be witnesses. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." God's people in the book of Joshua had an inheritance to claim. And you and I have a spiritual inheritance to claim. But there's a battle. There's a battle. There are nations yet to be conquered with the good news of the gospel, and certainly our nation needs to be conquered with the good news of the gospel. Our nation will only change, will only have real wisdom if our nation knows the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Well, as you follow the book of Joshua, they claimed their inheritance. From being wilderness wanderers, they became Canaan conquerors, but they had to battle for their inheritance. I wonder, as we enter 2021, are you ready for the battle? Are you going to be a person that relies on God's word, trusts in God's presence, and goes out to do God's purposes in this world, taking the good news of the gospel? I'm afraid that there are many Christians that just sit around and they do nothing about getting the good news of the gospel out. We live in a needy and hungry world spiritually. And you and I have got to set goals for the gospel. We've got to set goals for prayer. We've got to set goals for our spiritual life. And we've got to set goals for winning other people to the Lord Jesus. Because part of our spiritual inheritance, I believe in heaven, is actually going to be people. Do you know that? Part of our treasure in heaven will be people. Let me give you some verses for that. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 19, Paul said this, as he's writing to the Thessalonians, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." part of Paul's reward in the future would actually be people from the town of Thessalonica, people that he'd actually won to the Lord Jesus, people that were going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe part of our spiritual inheritance, and I believe it's a main part of our spiritual inheritance, will be people that we've had a part in winning to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another verse, Luke 16, verse 9. This is Jesus talking. And he says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." What's that mean? Well, if I was to break it down and summarise it, it'd be like this. Use your money. Use your time. Use your talents. Use your treasure to win people for the gospel, so that when you fail, when you die, they're going to receive you into heaven. Won't it be wonderful to have a welcoming committee in heaven of kids that you've taught in Sunday school? "Thank you, Miss," or "Thank you, Mister. I was that little kid, I was 4 or 5 years of age, and you taught me about Jesus." Won't it be wonderful in heaven to have kids that you've taught in Scripture, some of them naughty kids, some kids that you never thought paid attention, and maybe one of the naughtiest kids comes up to you in heaven and says, "Thank you. Thank you for investing in my life, because that Scripture class I came to know that Jesus was my Saviour." Won't it be wonderful to meet people of different nations from around the world, and they come up to you in heaven and say, "Thank you for investing in that missionary, because the missionary that you provided for, that you funded, the missionary that went overseas, presented to my tribe the great news of the gospel." Jesus said, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Warren Wiesbe, a pastor who's passed away recently, in the last couple of years, he's a commentator on the Bible, and saying in Luke 16, verse 9, referring to this passage, he says, "One of these days, life will end, and we will not be able to earn or use money. Therefore, while we have the opportunity, we must invest our money in making friends for our Lord. This means winning people to Christ who will one day welcome us to heaven. Our lives and resources will one day end, so it behooves us to use them wisely." God's people had to trust the Lord and cross the flooded Jordan River, and they had to battle in the Promised Land to get their rewards of a land flowing with milk and honey. Can I ask you, what are your spiritual goals this year? What battles are you prepared to fight? Are you willing to face others with the good news of the gospel and face ridicule or abuse? What battles are you willing to fight for the good news of the gospel? What battles are you willing to fight for the name of Jesus in the land of Australia? They had to cling to the word of God, the promises of God. They had to rely on the purposes of God, the presence of God, I should say, and they had to go about the purposes of God. What river of difficulty this year are you willing to cross by faith in order to get your inheritance? Isaac Watts wrote this, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" It amazes me today that there are so many Christians that are completely unmoved to move out with the gospel. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest.'" The Bible says that when he saw the people, they were like sheep, and he was moved with compassion. Our prayer this year should be, Lord, move us to move out to them, to those that do not know the gospel. One writer wrote this song. He said, the song was titled, "Got Any Rivers?" He said, "Be of good courage, God spoke unto Joshua, when o'er the river pointed the way, the Jordan uncrossable. Things seemed impossible, waters divide as they march and obey. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things impossible, and he can do what no other power can do." The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus. We are more than conquerors. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." As we face 2021, we need to be doing what Joshua and his people did. They believed God's promises. They trusted God's presence. And they realized God's purpose. And they went forward as Canaan conquerors and not wilderness wanderers.